Chapter 10 At La Rochelle. 2 days later, D'Artagnan said goodbye to his friends and left for La Rochelle with the king's guards. There, the campaign gave him the chance that he had always wanted to prove himself to Monsieur de Tréville. All that D'Artagnan had ever dreamed of was being a musketeer. When the fighting started, everyone in the camp began to talk about D'Artagnan's bravery. And after a few weeks, the news came that the king, Monsieur de Tréville, and his musketeers would soon be arriving at La Rochelle too. One day, a messenger brought D'Artagnan a letter with news of his three friends.
"Your friends, Athos, Porthos and Aramis have been guests at my inn on their journey to La Rochelle and have asked me to send you 12 bottles of their favourite wine. Monsieur Godeau, innkeeper."
When the wine arrived the next day, D'Artagnan invited some soldiers to share it with him that evening. But just as a servant began to pour the wine, they all suddenly heard the sound of guns. Thinking that the English were attacking, they ran outside, but discovered instead that the king, Monsieur de Tréville, and his musketeers had arrived. D'Artagnan soon found his three friends among them.
"You've arrived at an excellent time," he said happily. "I'm giving a party to drink the wine that you sent."
"But we never sent you any wine," cried Athos. "Hurry! It could be another of Milady's tricks."
They ran back as fast as they could and found the servant who had poured the wine dead on the floor, with an empty wine glass beside him.
"The poor man has been poisoned," cried D'Artagnan.
"But that wine was for me. She was trying to kill me."
Then he told Porthos and Aramis the whole story of his enemy, Milady. But of Athos's three friends, D'Artagnan was still the only one who knew that she had once been his wife. Late one night, a few days later, the three musketeers were riding back to their camp from the Red Dovecot Inn outside La Rochelle when they heard horses coming towards them. Then, two riders appeared in the dark.
"Who's there?" one of the riders called.
"The king's musketeers," answered Athos.
The man rode forward, and they were very surprised to see that it was the cardinal with his servant.
"What are your names?" he asked.
"Athos, Porthos, and Aramis, sir," replied Athos.
"I've heard of you, gentlemen, and I know that you're not friendly towards me," said the cardinal. "But I also know that you're fearless men who can be trusted. I'd like you to travel with me as my bodyguards."
The three musketeers agreed and rode with the cardinal and his servant back to the Red Dovecot Inn, which was now quiet. Holding his cloak over the bottom of his face, the cardinal asked to speak to a lady upstairs, and the innkeeper let him in without recognizing him. Athos, Porthos, and Aramis waited in a room downstairs, asking each other what it could be about. As Athos walked up and down the room, he suddenly heard voices from the room upstairs. Above him, he noticed a pipe hanging down from an old stove. He put his ear to the pipe and could hear the voices more clearly.
"This is a very important mission, Milady," Athos heard the cardinal say.
Athos turned pale at the sound of that name. He whispered to Porthos and Aramis to come and listen.
"You must go to London immediately and see the Duke of Buckingham again," said the cardinal.
"But the Duke doesn't trust me now. He knows that I stole the 2 diamonds, said Milady.
"I'm not sending you to England as a spy this time, but as a messenger," the cardinal told her. "Tell the Duke that I know about his plan to send an army to fight us at La Rochelle. Tell him that if he helps the town, I'll tell the king about his secret meetings with the queen. I can prove that she's plotting with France's enemies."
"But what will happen if that doesn't stop him?" asked Milady.
"The Duke is in love with the queen, so I believe that it will," said the cardinal. "But if he can't be stopped, then he must be killed. I'm sure that a beautiful, intelligent young woman like you could help France in this way."
"Then I'd be guilty of murder," said Milady. "But you could give me a document which says that anything I do is for the good of France, because by acting for you, I've made an enemy who wants to kill me. This man knows that I helped kidnap Constance Bonacieux, the woman he loves."
"I'm not safe while he lives," said Milady. "You mean Monsieur d'Artagnan?" said the cardinal. "Can you prove that he helped the Duke meet the Queen?"
"Yes, sir," replied Milady.
"Then I'll do what you ask," said the cardinal. "And when you return from England, go to the convent at Béthune and wait there."
It was quiet for a moment while the cardinal wrote out the order.
"I must leave immediately," Athos whispered to his friends. "Tell the cardinal that I've ridden ahead to check that the road is safe."
"Be careful, Athos," said Aramis as his friend left.
Athos hurried to his horse and galloped away. Then he stopped and waited in a wood until the cardinal, his servant, Porthos, and Aramis had passed by. As soon as they were gone, he galloped back to the inn. There he told the innkeeper that his officer had sent him back with a message for the lady upstairs. He went up as quietly as he could, walked straight into Milady's room, and shut the door.
"Comte de la Fère!" she whispered in a frightened voice.
"Yes, you thought that I was dead, didn't you?" he said. "And I thought that you were dead. I changed my name to Athos, just as you changed yours from Anne de Breuil to Lady de Winter."
"What do you want?"
said Milady. Athos pulled out a pistol and held it to her head.
"Give me the document that the cardinal just signed for you, or I'll shoot you," he said.
Milady did not move. "I'll give you 1 more second to decide," said Athos. Milady quickly pulled the document out of her dress and handed it to him.
"Take it, you devil," she said.
Athos checked the document, put it in his pocket, and left quickly. Then he galloped back to the camp at La Rochelle and managed to arrive before the cardinal.
"I must speak to D'Artagnan," Athos told Porthos and Aramis as soon as they were alone. "The king's guards have been busy fighting," replied Porthos. "There are many reports of D'Artagnan's bravery, but we'll send him a message."
When D'Artagnan came, he had wonderful news. Monsieur de Tréville had asked him to join the king's musketeers, and D'Artagnan could not be happier. But he was shocked when he learned that Athos had seen Milady. The cardinal gave Milady a document which allows her to have you killed, and he's sending her on a mission to England to have the Duke of Buckingham killed too, said Athos.
What? Cried D'Artagnan. Has she gone to England with that document?
No, I have it here, said Athos, and he showed it to D'Artagnan.
It is by my order that anything which is done by the owner of this document has been done for the good of France. Cardinal Richelieu.
We must burn this immediately, cried D'Artagnan. And I must go back to England to tell the Duke about the plot to kill him.
No, you can't do that. You can't help France's enemy, said Athos. And we must take great care of the document. It might be useful.
Then we must tell Lord de Winter what his sister-in-law plans to do. He's in London, and he can watch her. I'll ask Planchet to take the letter immediately, said D'Artagnan.
The day after this, a letter arrived for Aramis. Athos and Porthos were sure that it was a love letter.
I can't tell you who sent it, Aramis told them, but we must send for D'Artagnan again. It has news that will make him very happy. The Queen has found Constance Bonacieux and sent her to the convent at Béthune.
Thank you, Aramis, cried D'Artagnan when he arrived. At last I've had news of dear Constance. She's alive and safe. As soon as the campaign here is won, I'll go to Béthune.
And we'll come with you, said Aramis.
Let's hope that Lord de Winter can keep Milady in England, said Athos, because the cardinal ordered her to go to the convent at Béthune too when she returns to France.